Hello and welcome to the roundtable. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba this weekend. Today, our discussion is going to be focusing more on the recently released population estimation survey here in Juba. The National Bureau of Statistics last week released a new population estimate survey, which estimated the country's population to be at 12,444,018 South Sudanese. The survey has received mixed reactions. Some questions its accuracy, saying it's a political issues to benefit those who are in power, while others have received it well and in a good starting point. I am joined here in the studio to discuss more on those issues here. I am joined, first of all, by Julius Sebit Daniel, who is the Chief Survey Manager for the Population Estimation Survey. Good morning and welcome to Radio Mira, Julius Sebit.
Thank you very much.
And also I'm joined by Jackson Okelo Akur, who is also from the National Strategic for Development for Statistics. Welcome to Radio Mira, Okelo.
Thank you, Mr. Sani, and the listeners outside there.
And also I am joined here by Byung Deng Kwol, the Deputy Chief for Demographic Statistics in the National Bureau of Statistics. And these are the people who came up with this figure. The over 12 million South Sudanese, as it has been estimated. Welcome to Radio Mira, Byung.
Thank you for having me, Sunny Martin.
And also I am joined here by Agustino Ting Mariai from the SOD Institute. These are people who have been working closely with the some of the researchers who have been carrying out so many research in the country. Good morning, Agustina, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And also, like I said, our lines will be open to you shortly, and you will be talking to us about these population estimation survey. Some states have also complained about the figures that has been allocated to their states. Others have appreciated it and others have welcomed it, and that's how the situation is here, and we shall be hearing more from them. Right away, let's begin with Jackson. You are the Chief Survey Manager for this PES. Like I said, we are going to be using PES to save time, Population Estimation Survey. First of all, how was this survey conducted, Julius?
Thank you very much for the question. Of course, how the survey was conducted, the population estimation survey. First of all, we have three phases. When you want to conduct a survey, for this survey, we have three phases. The first phase, we have the pre-enumeration activities, and the second phase is the enumeration, which is actually full count, and the third is actually the post-enumeration, which has the analysis and so on. So for this, we start with the pre-enumeration activities. Mm-hmm. Training the planning, preparing the budget, and training of TOT.
When was that? Just remind our listeners.
This was around before 2021.
Before COVID, right?
Yeah, before COVID. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started at the time of the COVID, the planning, but because of the COVID, we cannot foresee it. So we started with the pre enumeration activity, the planning stages, and then where the enumerators were, where the TOT were recruited, and also they were sent around 60 TOT all over the country, and they were sent to the states to do the training in 22 training centers, and then from there they conduct the training of enumerators and supervisors, and then from there they were deployed to do the ECLA count, which is what we call the enumeration. That was in 2021. And the enumeration was actually conducted from on the 28th of May 2021 to 15th of June 2020 in all the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm. So how many people were trained from each state?
We have 130 supervisors for the whole South Sudan, mm-hmm. and 3 administrative areas, and then 533 enumerators for the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are the one who conducted the data collection.
So, what was the sample size like?
The sample size was 1,536.
Mm-hmm.
This across the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas.
Okay. And by whom? By the people you trained?
No, the sample size were done by NBS at the national level and with the technical support from University of Southampton in UK.
Right. So what was the methodology that was used in this survey?
Yes, thank you very much. Let me just give you the answers.
Mm-hmm.
The methodology used, we use a two-stage stratified random sampling, which were used to select the areas where data collection was conducted. And a total of 1,000, as I've said, a total of 1,336 sample sites have been selected in areas across South Sudan using a two-stage stratified random sampling. The population survey was designated based on satellite imagery, derived information, and a system of equal size grid squares.
Mm-hmm.
And these grid squares categorized by two. We have denser settled areas, and we have a special settled area.
So that is the two stage.
Yeah, that's the two stages. Yeah.
Okay. We shall be coming back to you later on. Let's find out more from Agustina from Masud Institute before we come to the rest of the people. When you saw this result, first of all, what was your reaction from Masud?
Thank you very much. Not only am I coming from the institute as a researcher, I am a demographer.
Yeah.
So I'm trained in demography. These are some of the issues I concern myself with on a regular basis. My first reaction was that's just not accurate what I'm seeing, because the changes that have been reflected in the last 13 years do not cohere with the principles of demography. It's just that the numbers are wild. And it should be clear from the National Bureau of Statistics that a sample is a sample, and they should have stuck to that instead of actually coming about putting out the population estimates of the country,
mm-hmm.
because they do not reflect the population of the country.
The chairman have also said that it might not be accurate, but it is a good starting point.
It's not might.
Mm-hmm.
They are inaccurate.
Jackson, from a point of view, what are some of the highlights you could mention with regards to the gender, population, and age distribution as per this PES?
Yes, thank you, Martin. Sani, when we conducted that, we for some of the highlights, and the highlights by sex or by age and population by sex, we have female, that is 52.9%, and males is 47.1%.
So the female are beating the males, right?
Yes, exactly. It is unlike what we did in 2008.
So
yeah, exactly.
In simple words, currently the population of women or female in this country is higher than that of the males.
Exactly. That is what we came up with.
Said it's at 50 what?
It is 52.9%.
52.9%.
Yes, and the male is 47.1%.
Mm-hmm.
As to the adolescent,
is there any reason as to why the number of?
Well, I think the reasons are very clear. Because if you look at 2008 population, you find that most of our women were in the neighboring countries, mm-hmm. like Uganda, like Kenya, and females were all there. But now with the deteriorating economic situation, mm-hmm. I think most of them decided to come back.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So what about others, like the distribution by age?
Yes. We said that adolescent, that is between, of course, 9 and up to the 9. I mean, between 10 to 19, it is 24.6%.
Mm.
With the young people,
that is between 15 to 24%. That is, of course, the definition of United Nations. The standard
between
of
15 to 24 years of age
is 19.3%. The youth, that is the African youth. When we are talking about African youth, that is in the African Charter on Statistics. It between 15 to 35, it is 33.3%. And the working age is, that is between 15 to 64. That is the working age. That is
those
also,
who are working.
Yeah, those who are working.
Mm-hmm.
It is 52.3%. Of course, those who are not working is 47.7%. So
right.
These are what we came up in the estimation.
Okay, from the population estimation survey, what is the most populated state in the country and the least populated states?
Thank you once again, Mr. Sani. From that, we came up with Warab is the leading state, and that is it is 2.6 million, and the least is 0.56 million. That is Western Baragazal, and of course with administrative areas also, because we categorize them differently. The most populated administrative area is Greater Pibora Administrative Area, and that is 240,102. And then the least is Isabi, that is 133,958. These are the some of the populations that we came up. Of course, the rest are in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe the chief survey manager will explain to us why this surge in population in Warab State and why the sudden drop of population in Jonglei State. Before we come to that later on, let's find out from Biong. So what is the distribution of urban, rural, nomads and IDPs as per the PS in the country?
We are not using urban and rural areas. We said we distributed the areas of South Sudan into sparsely areas and densely areas.
So sparsely and densely?
Yes.
Okay.
And the nomadic, actually, it is included in those areas wherever they found in the densely and sparsely areas. The distribution of the population in these areas are not available now, but it will be available at any time wanted. But the population of the areas of sparsely areas are more higher than the densely areas.
Mm-hmm.
For the IDPs, we said we did not include them in, we did not enumerate them in the sample areas because those are a special population and their figures
is known. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we include them at the later stage in the population area. And also there is that figure of refugees and asylum seekers in South Sudan. Those figures, they were not included, but they are supposed to be included in the, and we got the figures late. That's why we did not include them in the population. But those are supposed to be included in them. And we said the refugees and the South Sudanese refugees outside the country are not included according to the method we are using, mm-hmm. which is the de facto, that enumerate the people inside the country.
And what are these figures, the over 12 million, going to be used for?
These figures actually are going to be used for plan and services delivery. That is to say, we look into those areas for the planners to look into the areas where maybe there is a lack of schools or lack of health facilities and those kind of services that we need to deliver to the people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Julius, this question I posed I said I would get back to you. First of all, if you look at the census of 2008, Jonglei State was leading in the entire country. And right now, if you come to the population estimation survey here, Jonglei has dropped to 791,000 105. And if you combine the three states of Upper Nile State, Jonglei State, and the Unity State, they will not even come nearer to Warab State. What is the reason for this sudden drop in the population of these three states compared to the rise in population in Warab State?
Thank you very much for asking this question. I think Jonglei was actually leading in the 2008 census with that one, there's no problem. But as I've seen that the methodology used in 2008 and the population estimate, the methodology are completely different. So we cannot be able to compare it. But what will happen is in those states, Jonglei, Jonglei State and Upper Nile State and Unity State are actually affected by the insecurity in the area since 2013, and there's a possible migration of the people outside the states, outside the country, and some of them are outside, and the issue of flooding idea, this actually the main cause, that's why leading to the population dropping in this area. And in Warab, the population, there are internal IDPs, but the population, the people have not moved outside the state. And Warab is leading. Why? Because it has the highest population density and also the highest average household size. Because the PS is based on the population density and the average household size, which is of course based on the satellite imaging, and that's why Warab became, and also it is accommodated the largest number of IDP in Warab State. It is around 389,000.
IDPs from Unity State.
You know, in Warab State, mm-hmm. And that's why.
Where are the IDPs coming from?
The IDPs are just internal. Migration.
I think some are coming from neighboring areas, especially there are those also coming from Sudan, and there are those coming from the neighboring state of Unity. Yes. Mm-hmm. These are some. And besides, even Warab has some relative instability comparing to the...
So there was no much displacement in Warab compared to the Upper Nile region?
Exactly.
Even to Equatorial also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And then there has been this discussion whereby Juba should be having more population compared to others, because that is the capital city where many people live. If you take, for example, Gudele, the number of people living around Gudele is more. How comes that Central Equatoria is having less population?
Yes. I think this question is very clear. You know, people are saying Juba, the capital city, is...
In fact, many people have migrated from the states to Juba.
Yeah.
Mm. Even you see in one house here in Juba, I can confirm this on a record, that one house in Juba, you find more than 20 people. I have a friend of mine, in his house, if you go there are more than 20 in one compound.
Yeah, I think your answer is, your question is correctly, because now what happened, just to tell you that... Juba cannot be the leading, because there are so many factors. First of all, the counties affected by the insecurity, like Ilanya, Yei, Morobo, Keji. The people have moved. When the people move, they are not there.
Yeah.
So how do you expect your Juba to be the leading? Mm-hmm. So the population we got is only for the other counties, like now Terkeka and Juba, because the sample size we selected five counties excluding Lanya. So you cannot expect Juba to lead when the people have moved outside the country as refugees, some in Uganda, some are in DRC. The time when they were collecting the data, they were not there.
Okay.
So we are using a de facto census method. The de facto census method gives you the actual population present.
Okay, let's find out, explain this to our listeners who may call in later on and ask this question. Before they call in and ask, I want you to answer before they call. Could you explain in a simple language, what system did you use to count people? Were you going house to house? Did you use a camera to fly over people's villages? What did you use?
Thank you very much for asking this question. First of all, we're using the population information surveys based on the satellite imagery. And then the satellite imagery will capture all the in the areas, in the settled areas, and the dense settled area, and then special settled area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the satellite imagery will capture the structures on the ground, the structures of the buildings on the ground.
Oh, so this is used by foreign companies we don't have the technology here in South Africa.
So for us, the satellite imagery will give us only the structures, but it's difficult to predict the number of the population inside those buildings, the structures.
So how does it work?
So we send the enumerators, our enumerators to go to on the ground in those structures to see whether how many people are there. And then this is why they came out with the number.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because many people have said I was not counted, no one consulted me, I don't know where this people came.
I think, remember, this is a population estimation survey.
Yeah.
It is not house-to-house counting. We are not counting every house. We don't move from one house to another.
Yeah.
We are moving to sample sites only. And it is within those sample sites that were taken by the satellite imagery. We are going there to prove exactly what are in those structures. Are there people?
Mm-hmm.
Are there no people? And in fact, in some areas, we found that even people were not there. The structures were there, but the people were not there. So we went only to sample areas. As to the issue of Juba, you find that the whole thing is determined by the sample size distribution. So you can see it. We have only sample 5.
Yeah.
And we did not select them all. So you can't expect Juba to lead.
Okay.
And as he mentioned, you find that in some of those even suburbs of Juba, especially the neighboring Payams, you find that even they are not stable. And even this is a common fact that everybody knows.
If I can come in.
Okay.
The enumeration, it was done normally like any other surveys. The enumerator will go to the household and interview the head of the household, getting the number of the people in the house with their details of the demographic or socioeconomic indicators. And from there, we are using the tablet with the software, with the survey 123 software. And that one, when you put this information, immediately you can send the information to the server, to our server where we kept our data.
Yeah.
And later on, we use the statistical model, which will model the population we got in that sample area, to predict the population in the other areas that we did not reach. So we do not reach all the people, but we reach some of the people in the sample.
Okay. Yes, Agostino, what are your major concerns? You have had at least the population of female population is 52.9, and then men should be around 47, 48 there. So when you look at these figures here, what are your major concerns with this entire process?
Let me thank the colleagues for their hard work and explaining what they have done. First off, let me correct one thing. The 2008 census provided results that showed that we had more men than women.
2008.
It was 48% for women and 42% for men.
Mm-hmm.
The current estimate is telling us that it's the opposite.
Yeah, 52.
And the gentleman tried to explain that somehow our women and girls who were displaced have returned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's accurate. In fact, and this is why we should be concerned of this statistics,
mm-hmm.
there should be more men in South Sudan than women. And this is easily understood. A place affected by war normally has those consequences that would include more women and children dying as a result of the conflict. So when we look at 400,000 who died during the 2013 war, majority of them were actually women and children. So again, this points to why we should be hesitant to actually buy into the new statistics. The fact that we have more females right now than male is the problem. Now let me get to the issues of differential results. Zhongli can be explained. Because of displacement, people have left. Majority of these people are either in Lakes or here in Central Equatoria or have migrated as far as Kenya and Uganda. So you can explain the deficit in population growth in the area. However, you cannot do this. You cannot do the population growth in Warap, because there are two factors that would govern the outcome there. One, it's high migration from other areas to Warap. As we know, from 2017, there were about 15,000 displaced folks from the neighboring state coming to Warap. So saying that there has been an overflow of individuals going to Warap State, therefore raising the population by 2.8 times, close to 3%, doesn't make sense. The second part is that Warap would have had, in the last 13 years, to grow tremendously because Warap is giving birth a lot, but fewer people are dying. As we know, Warap has been unstable for the last 17, 18 years. And so if you look at the basic principle of demography, the balancing equation is that you have more children being born, of course, and you have more people dying. So the national rate of increase is going to be close to zero. So where does 3 times growth comes from in terms of Warap? Again, our colleagues don't explain it well. The numbers do not add up, and they don't make sense, either demographically or politically.
Right. And if you have just joined us right now, you're listening to the roundtable, and our lines will be opening to you, where you will call us and ask your question to my panelists right here. And to remind you that our discussion today is focusing on the recently released population estimation survey, which estimated the country's population of South Sudan, that is South Sudan, to be at 12,444,018. So we have here in the studio four of my panelists, Julius Sebit Daniel, who is the chief survey manager for this PES, and also I have Jackson Okello Akur, who is the National Strategy for Development for Statistics, and also Byung Deng Kwol, the Deputy Chief for Demographic Statistics, and Agustino Ting Mayai, who is also a Demographic Officer. Plus, he comes from the SUD Institute, and he has issued a paper on this recently released survey. And like I said, you can drop your question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. And the paper I have in my hand here, which my panelists from the National Bureau of Statistics can correct me if I don't, if it is not the correct one. Upper Nile State, according to the population estimation survey, Upper Nile State is their population has per this PS is 790,147. Jonglei State is 791,105. Unity State is 892,780. And Western Bahar State is the least here. On the list, it is 562,555. And Northern Baragazar is at 1,924,342. Warap State is 2,639,486. And the Lakes State is also above 1,000,000. 265,473. Western Equatorial State is 666,233 people living now in the entire Western Equatorial State. Has but this result, Central Equatorial State is 1,324,521. Eastern Equatorial State, 981,902. Then you come to the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, which is 240,102. And Ruweng is 234,416. Then BA is 133,000, making a total population, 133,955. It will not be fair if I don't finish that figure. Making the total population of 12,444,018. So those are the population. I hope I've read them correct, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what is the main objectives of this survey, if I may come to this question here? What is the really main objective? Since we have heard that it's not going to be used for election and all this, it was not accurate and all this. Now, what is this figure going to be used for, or this survey? Yes, from the National Bureau of Statistics.
Yes, Julius.
Yes, maybe Jackson?
Julius.
Yes, Jackson.
Julius.
Julius, what is the main objectives of this survey here?
Okay.
First of all, when you are sitting down and coming up with the idea, oh, yes, we should do this PES. It has been done, by the way. When I was preparing for this program, I did some few research. I discovered that it was also done in Somalia. Somalia have done the same issue, and it was fully supported by UNFPA. And I also understand that this one was also supported by UNFPA plus other partners. First of all, what was the main objectives of this survey here?
Thank you very much. As you have said, this similar survey was conducted in DRC, Congo, Nigeria, Colombia, and Afghanistan. So the main objective of the population estimation survey of 2021, population estimation survey, was to improve the quality of living of standards of people of South Sudan through the provision of current and reliable population estimates for development planning, policy formulation, and service delivery, as well as for monitoring and evaluating population programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, and meaning it's going to be used for service delivery, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So from here now, what next? Is it going to be taken to the parliament or to the cabinet? I know it was presented in the cabinet some times back, as it was announced by the Minister of Information. So what is the next procedures from here now?
The next procedure is actually, after this, we are going to do the analysis. What we have, the analysis of the table, we are going to do the report for the thematic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And then dissemination and publication of this report to the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas.
Yeah. And somebody from Western Barakzai will say, during the 2008 census, Western Barakzai was also at the bottom of the population in this country. And again, they have taken the same position. Any explanation?
Yes, I think Western Barakzai also supposed to be thankful about that, because they Western Barakzai in the last election was 300. I mean, in the last census
2008.
Was 2008 was 333,000, and now it has moved to 500,
mm-hmm.
and over 500,000. So mm-hmm. that also could be great.
Yeah, 562,555.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it could be the something achievement for them, because they have gone even beyond that, while other states have even come down.
Uh-huh.
So I think it is almost double anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And beyond now, from the findings of the population estimation survey, what were some of the main phases of data collection during this survey?
The phases of the main data collection, I think this thing was mentioned by Julius,
uh-huh.
that the phases of this one, we started like recruiting the field work.
Mm-hmm.
The supervisors and the enumerators, and then we went to the field work where we visited all the households we selected in the areas, and then we came up with the figures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And somebody will be saying, maybe I should ask Julius Sebit. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that yes, you have done this effort that has been put by the NBS is a step towards some kind of good progress. It's good, but the issue is you should have come up with some kind of awareness. Why didn't you carry out awareness before carrying out this, to alert people that, okay, the NBS is going to carry out this kind of thing, and we are expecting these are the procedures we are going to take. If you are not captured, please bear with us. Maybe we may do better with some times to come. Why were there no awareness carried out throughout the country to educate people about this project?
Thank you very much. I think we did an awareness before 2021. Mm-hmm. We went to the 10 states and then the 3 administrative area and explaining the whole process. But I think that may be not enough, but we did that.
I think what happened with this program, we went to every state. We have the advocacy team went, like I personally went to Warap. And not only that, I think Martin, we were in Mirai here.
Yes.
And we talked extensively on this. So plus any other, I even went to different radio stations and we talk about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that complaint come from.
Yeah.
Maybe that person was not also listening well.
So from...
We did tell the citizen going to come.
Okay. Do you think after the NBS released these figures, what is your general feeling from the public? How has it been received from what you hear? Because I think there has been a lot of, like I said in my introduction, positive and negative response towards this result. How have you received these figures from both the stakeholders, the government officials, and even the population?
I think there is nothing strange about it, because even part of what we are doing in statistics, if you release the figure, you expect the reactions of the people. Mm-hmm. Normally, when you are releasing such figures, it's supposed to be debated.
Yeah.
One of my friends, Professor Tenji, is also with us here. So he's giving, ultimately, the individuals are giving their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That may not necessarily, what has not been done has not strictly followed the scientific process. So the individuals, whether they're in academia, whether they're ordinary citizen, whatever, they can give their own opinion. Mm-hmm. And opinion is not bad, because if the debate is created nationwide, I think it will help us in future. If there are other errors that might have been committed, as NBS will put our house in order. Okay. So normally the debate is not bad.
Yes, Jackson, this result of the population estimate survey is deemed to be politically motivated, and many political actors in the political corridors have suggested that the result may be used for election. What is your take on this statement?
Yes, especially...
I'm sure you have heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. Even you see the social media is awash with all that. and even not only that, we are confronted by individual MPs. And
You have been confronted?
Yes, by individual MPs. They came to our offices. Why these figures like that? You people supposed to have this. And now, if those figures are to be taken for election, then I'm likely to lose my position. But it has been very clear. We have put it clearly, crystal clear, right from the beginning. When it was presented in economic cluster, the chairperson put it very clear that these results will never be used in the election, because it is the sample. You see, we are using, it is a survey. It is not a full count. If it is census, where you go from house to house. So it will never be used in the election at all. It was put very clearly in front of the economic cluster. And then that was in September last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the Council of Ministers on the 10th of March, it was put clearly that after the presentation, it was put, this is only used for planning and policy formulation and service delivery. It will not be used for the election. And again, at the last launch here, it was put very clearly on the 6th of April 2023, it was again put clearly to the citizen, plus the NGOs and the government officials were all there. It was put clear that this was not used for the election.
Mm.
I don't know where that persistent assumption coming from.
Okay.
Because we did not say it.
Mm-hmm.
We did not say that, nor did even any government official, whether from the three teams, that the economic cluster, the Council of Ministers, and even the launching, none of them said it will be used for the election.
Mm.
Why that worry?
Maybe the worry is the timing for the release, because people are talking about election next year, and the figures are being released right now.
I know the issue of timing. I think I will talk about that in the area of challenges because one of the challenges is this issue of insufficient budget. Because when budget is not sufficient, you cannot just go and release it. So some of the things you are seeing being delayed up to this time is the issue of budget. That I will talk about that in detail.
Okay, and before we also hear from others here in the studio, you have just mentioned that some MPs have come to your office and raised a complaint. I have also talked to some people who said, in fact, it would be much better for this to be used for election. But the issue of service delivery, that means some people or some areas will be deprived because the service delivery will go to most of the populated areas, depriving others.
Yes, but I think, sorry, Martin, you know very well, nowhere on earth in any country, if you conduct a survey or if you conduct a census, every state or every area cannot be equal.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, where are we running? Where do we want to be equal? If we know ourselves that this is the population of this state, this is the population of this county, it is for this biome, why do we go for that activity if we have known it already? Although some of them already told us that, you see, this is not the population of my county, this is the population of my payout, it should have been this.
Okay. Some counties must always be above others, not all the same. Let's find out from Agostino. After hearing from the panelists here, what is your response to all this?
No,
when you hear MPs going and raise complaint, my county or my payam is less and all this.
let me appreciate the colleagues and the National Bureau of Statistics for again having done its best in producing what we are discussing right now. It must have been a lot of work given the fact that resources are limited, as Jackson said. But let me underscore two things. So there is definitely a clear statement coming from the National Bureau of Statistics and even the government to say, look, the results will not be used for elections. That has been communicated. And you're right that the timing of the release probably has something to do with how people are reacting in terms of elections. Nevertheless, what I have as far as looking at election versus services is that actually the results would be better used for politics than services. And the reason is that we're talking about equity, not equality, Jackson. And equity is where you create fairness. Now, so I come from Warab. I cannot believe Warab has about 3 million people. I can't. There's no way to believe that. But if you administer services on the basis of the current estimates, what do you think is going to happen? Warab is going to get more services. Well, if truly Warab doesn't have 3 million people, right, and instead you have other places that might have more people are not getting the services, then you create injustice. And that creation of injustice is what the estimates actually imposed on the people of South Sudan. And so my view as an expert and as a citizen is that we don't use the estimates at all for anything, not for politics, not for planning. Because either way, you create more problems by using it for planning, because you need to create justice. And you cannot create justice if you have an information that is wobbly, an information that is contested.
Mm-hmm. And during, you have also mentioned something to do with funding. And I'm sure you are not the only government institution to complain about money when it comes to carrying out your own activities. Beside the issue of funding, what were some of the challenges you faced when you were carrying out these population estimation surveys?
I think we have a number of challenges that we did face. One of these is the issue of local insecurity. Of course, our staff face a lot of this issue of insecurity elsewhere. I mean, in many parts of the different
country.
States, yes, of the country. So this local insecurity and the issue of flooding. You know the flooding has been on for almost 3 years.
Yes, more especially in Upper Nile region and parts of
Upper Nile region, and even parts of Equatoria. Part of Equatoria. Mm-hmm. You see even places like Western Equatoria and even the extreme northern part of Eastern Equatoria. Now, those of these are being faced. And our enumerators and even supervisors said they faced this. So this is one of the... The other thing has been the issue of logistical and technical issues, right? Particularly with the issues of internet, with the issues of tablets that we use. And there is what we call political itches. Now, in some areas, by the way, with the insistence of some of the commissioners, they refused. They said, no, unless you people add a number of... enumerators and you put even now more sample sites, we will not accept that. Mm-hmm. So in some areas we are rejected.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And it is the same people today complaining that why our population is less, and they refuse.
So in some areas, your officers or officials were told to double the figures.
Yes.
In some areas.
Yes.
And
before counting.
Before counting.
Yes.
And you rejected it.
Yes, because that is not scientific.
Yes.
We will not accept. In some areas, even our officials were arrested by other forces.
But why? Yeah. Because your government institutions mandated by the law to carry out your job. Why would you get
I think you are aware that there are other forces operating somewhere, isn't it?
Yes.
So they were told it is you people affecting this state, and now what you are doing, a lot, even our staff were detained for a number of days.
Okay.
Yes.
And I don't know who can answer this question here. Is there any plan to do a larger or more detailed survey and or census before election happens?
We as the Bureau of Statistics, actually our mandate is to provide data based on the census and survey and from the administrative data even. So as the Bureau, we are ready and we are planning like this one, like the people say it here, from our objective. We have the only data that we have, it was the 2008 census, and that one is, it was outdated. So one of the objectives of the 2021 SMS survey was to provide a little data or a small data that can help the country plan something. And that is when we say we are using this data for planning and services delivery, because we do not have something in hand, and we know the census is very expensive, and it's not easy to be done in this time. So we plan that one to provide something that the people can go on with it and provide some services with. For us, we are ready as the Bureau anytime, and we have a plan to do many surveys and even the census, but we are just waiting for the indication that you guys go ahead and do the census, because what we need now ahead of us is the census. It's the census that will provide the full data about the country. So if we have given a head to do the census, we are ready.
Okay. And yes, go ahead.
I think you know in the last peace agreement, that is a revitalized peace agreement, you added the element of census. I think it's part of the agreement.
Yeah.
And not only that, census is the property of the government, isn't it?
Yes.
So we are an agency that can be used by government to do that. We, as he said, we have already we have prepared our house. What we are waiting for, if the government tells us that you people, you do this on this and this, we will be very ready. Mm. So what we are waiting is the directives from the government.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Agustina.
Thank you very much. Thank you, colleagues. So two things I would like to underscore about the census. Number one is that resources are going to be a major factor. I don't know if the colleagues know, but you need about $100 million.
To conduct census.
To conduct the census, nationwide census. Number two, even if you get $100 million, you're going to need to work a lot because an average census takes about 2 years. Our elections are slated for roughly the end of 2024. Oh,
yeah.
Now, the question is, would we have the time to produce the results in time for elections, right? Will we have $100 million? And these are the two questions that you need to ask in order to understand what the roadmap is going to look like in about 2 years.
Yeah.
And so as the National Bureau of Statistics, I know they're not concerned with politics, but their inputs play a huge role in terms of a political transition. And so that we need to be aware, and people need to be aware that that's a possibility. That would be an extension of the roadmap.
Who were your partners when you were conducting this survey? Who were some of the partners, maybe like UN agencies? Like I said, in Somalia and other places, the UNFP played a big role.
I think we have a number of partners in the two areas, the technical areas and financial and logistical support.
Yeah.
In the area of technical, of course, the team is led by National Bureau of Statistics. We have different ministries, departments, agencies. We have University of Juba. We have University of Upper Nile. We have University of Southern Tone. And then we have World Pop, UNFPA and other UN partners. Then you have the Columbia University, and that is in the area of technical support. In the area of financial and logistical support, you have the UNFPA itself. You have also the UNAIDS, UNDP. You have the Harris Aid. You have World Food Program. You have UN Women. You have UNICEF, World Food Program, UNHCR, IOM, FAO. Government of Kenya gave us 600 tablets that are yet to be received.
They have not come.
They have not come.
The job has finished.
We did not. They indicated it, and they went to the to the press, and of course we.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. You are listening to the roundtable. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. Our lines will be open to you, where you can call and be part of our discussion. Welcome to the second hour. My name is Annie Martin, and today we are discussing about the population estimation survey that was released here in Juba by the National Bureau of Statistics, putting the population of South Sudan to be at 12,444,018. And my guests in the studio here have categorically said that this figure will not be used for election, but it will be used for planning and development purpose. And he says the National Bureau of Statistics is ready to carry out census if they are given all the resources. Some of the challenges they faced while conducting this population estimation survey was lack of funding, flooding throughout the country, insecurity in some parts of the country, and also interference by some government officials in the state. And you have heard from him. They conducted awareness throughout the country, and they moved out through also the three administrative area. You can call us right now on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Send us your comment to our SMS number 091-2177-141. In the studio, I have Agustino Ting Mayai from the Sud Institute, and we also have Byung Deng Kwol, the Deputy Chief for Demographic Statistics, and also Jackson Okello Akur, who is the National Strategy for Development for Statistics, and Julius Sebit Daniel, who is the chief survey manager for the population estimation survey. And our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call and be part of our discussion. Let me begin the second hour of this discussion with these questions coming in via our Facebook page. And this one says, Mangar is saying, I am a resident of Juba. Do you people believe that this estimation population survey is realistic? That's from Mangar in Juba here. And has others criticized that this estimate is meant to participate or to anticipate the possibilities of winning election? How can you convince such kind of people who are believing it to believe your ideas that it's only meant for development and planning purpose? And then you have already answered this about the objectives of this survey. It was answered already. But he has three questions going to the National Bureau of Statistics officers, that how can you convince those Thomases who are still doubting that this result will be used for election purpose? And is this population survey realistic? Another question here is coming in from Kwajok. I call Nicholas Madud from Kwajok. He says, what would be your message to other states who are complaining about this result before next upcoming election? And yes, that is his question from Akol. He wanted you to send a message to those states who are already complaining. And Maget Deng is saying, my question to the guests is that how can Warap State have the highest number of population compared to three states in Upper Nile region as per the 2008 census? That's from Maget Deng. Still from our Facebook page, this is coming from Nimule in Eastern Equatoria State, and says one of the main reasons for establishing a population of a country is to help the government in equitable distribution of resources across the country. But with this rough estimate, which can neither be high or low in some places, how effective will that be? And finally here, I totally disagree with the outcome of this estimation survey, because the country has been at war for almost 7 years, and we are talking about election to be conducted without carrying out census in the country. That's from Ames Rue Majok in Bentiu, Unity State. And another one here is from Jeremiah. Says, what we need is an accurate population census, not estimation, as the government claim. I am a true citizen of this country, but I am still doubting whether I was captured by your machine or not. That's from Jeremiah Sibit. Let's give chance for you to respond to some of these questions. If you want me to remind you with some of the questions, please feel free. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, maybe Sibit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a population. It cannot be realistic 100%. But the only way is to conduct a census. A census will give us the true population. So this one, an estimate cannot be 100%, but it can be used, because currently we don't have the data. The data for 2008 was already out of date, and this is the only data available where we can be able to use it for the time being.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, if I can add on that, actually, these figures, we cannot say it is realistic, because it is based on the sample, and anything is based on the sample, you can not be 100%
accurate.
So our belief, we wanted to use these figures for planning and services delivery, and my colleague said that even for the delivering of the service, these figures cannot be justifiable. But we are saying there are some indicators that we can use for services delivery and even for planning. Maybe it will be difficult to use for resource distribution, but there are some ways that you can modify these things, and you will find a way that you can distribute these figures. I mean, you can use it for resource distribution if you can calculate some other factors that will contribute to this one. But there are some indicators that for education, like you can see the number of schools in the certain areas, or the health facilities, and even the roads, the road. And these things, we can use these figures to deliver these services to the people.
Okay. Now, what about the question is, how can you convince other states whose population has dropped? Like, for example, Jonglei, it was explained, you explained the factors that might have led the conflict, the flood. Mm.
Yeah. I think it's... okay, let me... I think it's very clear because... like those states whose number have dropped is normal because we have this population dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the population dynamics cannot even keep the same population to be the same every time. This issue of flooding, this issue of insecurity, and the issue of really communal conflicts that even almost across the entire country.
Yeah.
Now, some of those things can even make individuals to change their minds and change their residence.
Yeah.
They change their residence. They even move away from there. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the factors affecting the population there. So the only way that we can send message to this is that let census be done. If census be done, because we are employing the same people in those states to do that. We did not employ anybody from outside.
That's one of the things. For example, if I come from Eastern Equatorial State, you employed people from Eastern Equatorial to do the job from there. You never brought somebody from Central Equatorial.
Exactly.
Right?
We don't. The only people that we take are people only who support the training, mm-hmm. the process of training.
Yeah.
The and TOTs. Then TOTs. We take the TOTs. And TOT sometimes can be accidental, can be from the same state. It's also possible because you can go to any part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not take anybody from anywhere, even from neighboring countries, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there is this question from Khan Maluit from Jebel here in Juba. He says, how comes that the population... Okay, he says, could you really clarify once again to us listening to you today, any justification to put Warrap to be the highly populated state with only 6 counties compared to Upper Nile with 13 counties and others with less or 9 counties?
Yeah. Actually, there will be no better way to explain to this person because this question, it was repeated several times.
Yeah.
But what I can say here is like Agostino mentioned something, that the population usually change either through the death rate or the fertility or the birth rate.
Yeah.
And there is this element of migration also. It's included in the changing the population. And I think this is the one affecting our population here. We are emphasizing on migration is the one changing this population.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot explain more than what we have used in the scientific is the method, and the method is very difficult to get the accurate information. I mean, number of the whole country from the sample.
Yes, yes.
Let me add.
Okay.
I think the number of the counties cannot justify a particular said to be more or less. No, that is totally something else.
Yeah.
Because if he has been listening carefully when we are explaining how we use the satellite imageries.
Yeah.
First of all, when we capture the structures, using the satellite images, we went down. When we went down now as enumerators, as supervisors, we found that some of the places are empty.
Mm-hmm.
And if now we are used to, if we are to use really photos in some of the places that we are captured are empty, yeah. I think some of us will be ashamed.
Okay, we will believe.
Yeah.
Okay, Agostino, maybe before you comment, you can comment together with this question coming from Maria Gabriel de Acon from Kwajok. He says, given the intercommunal classes that has been going on in Warab State in for the past several months, years, how scientifically can you prove this?
Yes, so thank you very much. I was actually going to get to that. Mm-hmm. So two parts response. Number one, I think there was an important question asked earlier by Nicholas Akol.
Yeah, yes.
I think he's also calling from Warab. And his message was more along the line of making sense to the other states.
Yeah.
That seemed to be concerned that they were undercounted. And I want to echo his point by saying in this, like, literally, if you look in if you look at the social media, people discussing the results, regular settings where people are discussing over tea,
yeah,
there is a concern with respect to the growth reflected in Warab and undergrowth reflected in the other areas. And people are actually falsely accusing the chairman of the National Bureau of Statistics
mm-hmm.
of doctoring the numbers in Warab so that he could stay in power. I mean, people are concerned, and they are coming up with wild. I know the chairman;
yeah.
he would definitely not do that. Yeah. I know this gentleman; they would never do that. But that's how our people feel right now. That Warab numbers were doctored, so then some politicians could be favored as a result of that by maybe the president, by some of us who can talk to the president by saying, "Look, this person is for us."
Yeah,
right. But let me. So that's one point. Point number two is looking at statistics across states, and as Byung put it, there are two main sources of growth, population growth. Number one is migration. And in this case, you're going to take the difference between inflows and outflows. The assumption that you would make under Warab, for example, is that if you want to consider migration as a big component, is that because of displacement in Zhongle, because of displacement in Unity, because of displacement in some parts of Equatoria, that majority of these people migrated to Warab State. Otherwise, it's difficult to explain a growth rate of 14% annually.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen anywhere. And so what I want people to understand is that Warab could not possibly have grown as a result of migration, because we know our people did not migrate to Warab. They migrated to Central Equatoria, they migrated to Uganda, they migrated to Ethiopia, and as far as Sudan. Number two is that birth rates versus death rates are somewhat on a level of equilibrium. So we can't claim that Warab has grown more over time because of birth and it's experiencing less death. And this point of instability is quite reflected in that majority of the people are saying Warab for the last, it's not just more recent, since 2006,
mm-hmm.
it has actually been unstable. People have been displaced. And that's why Western Bargaza should have grown, because a bunch of our people from Warab actually migrated to WOW. So again, it's very difficult to explain scientifically the result in Warab. Maybe politically you can explain them. But again, I would say I cannot accuse the chairman of doctoring the numbers.
It has also made them to work hard over the last 1 week.
Yeah.
I've seen them issuing statement over statement. The last press conference, I think, was yesterday or 2 days ago. Yeah, so it has made them to be, because they have kept quiet for a very long time anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Somebody asking from Nimula is, of course, the aim of this is for effective for service, for service delivery. How effective is that? Of course, it's talking of equity, because if you have the service delivery in the country, of course you talk of equity. It cannot be equal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is not only the factor of population that is taken into account. You have other factors also that you need to account.
Yeah.
For instance, if you have a population of 10,000
people, and the other one is 5,000. So you cannot leave the 5,000 people because they are less. No, what is equitable to them is what you will give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how people understand this issue of the equity.
Okay.
But the equity is that you get exactly what is commensurate with your number, and other factors are put into account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Our lines are now open. You can call us on 092-96-86-297. That's our MTN line. You can call on 092-96-86-297. Hello, Redimira.
Good morning.
Morning to you. Your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Guy from USB, my dear.
Okay, Guy, go ahead with the question.
So I just appreciate you and I appreciate the guest.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a lot of refugees who went to somewhere helpless. What preparation have you done to them to come and attend the services, or are you calling them there in different places?
Okay. All right. Hello, Redimire.
Hello?
Yes, your name?
My name is Franco Zebir. I'm calling from Jebel.
Okay, Franco, I'm in Jebel. Juba, marhab, Franco.
I'm Shukran Laka, we're here for the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, السؤال الثاني عن موضوع بين الأغمار الصناعية، يعني نوعية الأغمار هم يستخدموها، الأغمار الصناعية في أغمار الأهوال الجوية بيستخدموها، بتاعت الأعوام العسكرية بيستخدموها، بتاعت الإنترنت، بتاعت الاتصالات العادية دي بيستخدموها، يعني نوع من الأغمار الصناعية هم يستخدموا الصين عليهم،
okay.
لأنه الأغمار الصناعية سنتين بيكون في ضباب في الجو، فأنا بدي أرقام في الحاسوب بيجيك أرقام ما مطابق، زي ما هم بيقولوا إنه وربك هو أكبر عدد سكان في جنوب السودان. تفتكر إنه مثلاً الخدمات اللي بيدوها الوارب مرات حيكون أكثر من أي ولاية من ولايات جنوب السودان ده.
أوكي.
حتى الوظائف الموجودة في مرات حيكون أكثر ناس بيستحبوا لأنهم هم الأغلبية. فهم يستعانوا بأدوية من الأغمار الصناعية ويستخدموها في البحث بتاعهم عن السكان.
أوكي. شكراً كارلس فرانكو من جبل. Hello, Redimire. Yes, your name? Okay, Isaac from High Cinema here in Juba. Go ahead, Isaac.
Thank you, Mr. Hargis, in the studio. My first question is saying, how much are they prepared they should have to reach what they were supposed to be achieved on time? Because sometimes things are say time, lack of implementation is the great effect that is affecting our normal plan at the people of the Republic of South Sudan. My last question is, how will they use all the other locations that are most insecure so that they should have to reach the people when they are going to conduct the census?
Thank you so much for your question. Isaac from Juba here. Hello.
Good morning.
Martin. Good morning to you. Your name?
You are speaking to Burukusu from Yei.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question. And that on Mususar, it is a concern that Mususar, we as South Sudanese, we should know about these population centers, the Mususar, that they have estimated the figure. Mususar, my question is close like this. Is this population number, is it disaggregated or not? What I mean here is, we have persons with disability. How many percentage are they in that population? We have the women. How many percent, most of us, how many are they? We have the youth. How many are they? Because if we go back to the centers of 2008, they have not come with the clear percentage for persons with disability. And even they have not defined different impairment that persons with disability have. And in this centers, most of us, in this population figure, how many percentage are there of persons with disability, and what are the different types of impairment that these people have? Because if they talk about service delivery, at times you do find, they say that population estimate it is for development, but you do find the services that they deliver to the community at times even cannot include persons with disability. And also, what are they put in place to make sure that in this population, persons with disability also will benefit? That's my question.
Okay, thank you so much from Yeah. We can pick one more and hand over the microphone to our panelist here. Hello.
Danny Martin.
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine. Your name?
You are connected with Jimmy Dwar.
Okay, from Gudele? Okay, go ahead. From Juba.
I'm almost rich.
Yes, go ahead.
Almost rich, University of Juba.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Martin, I would like to reject one thing that has been called scientific method of making that estimation survey.
Mm-hmm.
So scientific is something that real, that cannot be reversed. And this is something estimated. How is it come to be scientific? This I need clarification, because you cannot call something that is scientific when it is not yet complete. This is one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they talk of services delivery on this point of that estimation survey. So should you really clarify to us, are you going to relocate much amount in terms of development and other kind of services delivery to Arab? Because you mentioned it clearly that this one is used to make services delivery and development in those estimated number of population of those states. So are you trying to tell us that Warab is the one that's going to get big here within other countries, or what do we mean? Because you're the one saying it.
The third is,
should that really yield any positive outcome if people migrate, like, for example, those aboard? They are displaced by water. Should it be realistic since we said, okay, now people are displaced. Let us really repatriate people back to their origin, then we conduct a census. Will that be the way of doing it, or we repatriate people back to their original places, then we conduct the census?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. James from Gudele, he's now heading towards the University of Juba. Maybe I give this question to Agustino to talk about the scientific one, and then I will also ask maybe Julius or any of the people there to elaborate more. Now they have the figures, which line ministries are they going to share? Because I know when it was presented in the cabinet, it was the Minister of Finance who did the presentation. Maybe they know which line ministries, like you mentioned, education, health, roads and all this kind of thing. Let's talk about the scientific one. Yes, Agustino.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, James, for your question. So it's still scientific, even if you use an estimation strategy. An estimation strategy is a scientific input in producing scientific outcomes, and that's why we use the sample to conduct studies. I mean, majority of the papers you will find being published by journals are written using scientific methods, but then you use the sample data. But the difference between what we are talking about right now and the basic scientific ingredients is that you have to do it right, even if you use an estimation,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why normally in statistics we use what's called the confidence levels, because confidence levels tell us where we have deficit in terms of truth. And so So estimation is not going to be unscientific because it's an estimation. It's still scientific as long as you follow the procedures. Now, the last part is, so you have the services that would be delivered using the methods, right?
Yeah.
Using the results. And this gentleman is asking a question if WhatsApp will get more of those services.
Yeah.
If you use the results for a service delivery, definitely WhatsApp should get more. That's what this means.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let's now turn to go ahead.
I think Frank asked as to whether what we have done is the defector or it is the joy.
From Gebel.
Of course, it is defector, because defector you are counted where you spend what we call survey night.
Mm-hmm.
Where you spend
where
survey,
the night gets you.
Yes, whether you are from Warab, whether you are from Western Baragazal, from Eastern Equatoria. If you spend that night in Juba, even if you are a visitor, you are counted there. So it is a defector count.
Mm-hmm.
We use the defector count. And then as to what Isaac said, whether if we are given the directives to go for the next census, are we prepared?
Yeah.
Yes, we are prepared. We are prepared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is that how will we reach the insecure areas? Of course, if it is the government giving us directives, then the government will take care of security.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course, definitely we will reach those because the people, of course, in those areas will cooperate, and then our mapping staff or whatever the enumerators ultimately will reach to those areas. Mm. As to the question of Borsuk, that in the last
disability, what is their percentage?
Exactly, he said the last one, 2008, the people living with disabilities were not included. That is not true. Mm-hmm. He did not read that.
Okay.
He didn't read that. He's just making assumption.
Okay.
But I think we have been very clear. We said in the next phase of PES is that we are going to go to thematic areas, and people living with disabilities is one of the thematic areas that we are going
to focus on.
To focus on, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was also this issue from a guy who was talking about the refugees, and maybe he was trying to project if you are to conduct census, will they be brought back? Because, of course, the agreement talks about people should be repatriated.
I think this is another level. The National Bureau of Statistics has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
We will not tell the government that because we are conducting census, you bring people. No.
Yeah,
the government knows what it is doing.
Yeah. Maybe this question from James Dor from Juba here about the allocation. You talked about it earlier. How are you going to, you will be handing over this document to the government, of course, and they know what to do. Maybe could you try to explain to James or and other listeners how the allocation of resources as part of the population, as you have indicated, Warap is the leading and Western Baragaza is the least. So how does it work in case they want to service, because you said the purpose of this is for planning and service delivery. So are there some line ministries that can come and take over from you these figures and work with it?
I think this issue of you have more figures and all this, because it is used for service delivery and even for planning. It is not just literally done that way. If you look with the government, you cannot just go because the previous figures is still have to verify the people on the ground. Still you need to know that, and there are other ways of doing that, like in some of the international organization and UN, you go for assessment, isn't it? So these are some, it is not, shouldn't be taken literally like that, because now what happens, this, they have all muscle. No, it's not that way.
Okay, go ahead.
If I can add to this one, the question from James, like he was concerned about the disabilities people and those people, and how are they, the services are going to deliver to them. Actually, what I want to tell him that is we are just in the beginning of launching these figures, and there is another step that we will analyze this data and then disseminate it to them. And from that one, the indicators will be clear. We will know the indicators for education, indicators for health, and indicators for gender and other factors. Those one will be ready after the analysis, and from that data, that is where each and every institution will come in and get whatever they want. Like the Minister of Education will see the age of the children, how many are there, and in their location in the states and in the areas, and is there schools, the number of teachers, and those things. These are the things that will provide to the different institution according to their needs.
Okay.
I think somebody raised an issue of from Bentu. He's like saying that he totally disagree with what we have come up with, simply because the country is at war. One of the characteristics of this PES is that it is done in places where there is conflict.
Yeah, like I mentioned Somalia before.
Yes, where there is conflict. And because we are not going to go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We go to those sample sites only. And even where we know that we cannot really access there, I think it has also been avoided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are aware of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Augustine.
Jackson, so let me correct this. So once you have facts, once you have statistics, that's your assessment.
Mm.
What you do next is plan. And in your planning, you're going to locate services. You're going to locate resources. So saying that you will not use this information literally contradicts why you actually have the results. And suggesting that there will be an additional assessment, that also implies that the assessment that was done was a waste of resources.
Okay.
So what happens in terms of planning is that once you have the stats, you have the stats, the next thing you do is plan and deliver services. So people who are concerned about what up taking all the services have actually a point, unless otherwise you drop and don't use this. On population displacement, the Bureau of Statistics is concerned with two important objectives. One is service delivery and planning inputs. The second part is to inform political processes using numbers. And if that's the case, then the census is good for both. And so when the agreement selates time for a census and for the government to allocate resources is to make sure that there will be a return of our people who are displaced, both internally and externally, to come back home and participate in political transition. And they participate through elections, they participate through other processes, and so they have to be counted. The agreement requires that our people are returned. The Bureau of Statistics is required that it counts all of our people internally in the country. Of course, the refugees will not be counted if that's what the person was asking, because they are in other jurisdictions. Yeah. They are in other countries. But the Bureau of Statistics should also emphasize the importance of making sure that these people are returned.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it will affect the political process.
Yes, we have two questions here before our lines are open, and says that it goes to the chief survey manager for the population estimation survey. I am Lopai from Gudele 1 here in Juba. He says, sir, welcome to the studio, and thank you. He says, can you make this document available for some people to read and have access to it? Because this is a public document. Now, how can people get access to this document? And the second part of his question is, has a chief surveyor, for purposes of accountability to the people of South Sudan, are you at liberty to disclose how much money was used for all this process? If you don't mind, sir. That's from Lupai in Gudele in Juba here. Maybe you want to answer that before we open our lines.
Yes, thank you very much for Lupai. Is asking on the documents. The documents, I think we are preparing the NBS. Maybe in the nearest future, we will have a lot these documents available. And then anybody can go to NBS and can get the document, because the document is on public domain. And there's no problem.
So people can get online also?
Put it on the website. And people can access, soon.
Okay.
Soon, and then the issue of the accountability, yes, the budget is around $3 million US dollars. So this was budgeted for the population estimation survey. So the budget is around $3 million, and it is actually for the three activities. That is the planning stages, which we call the pre-enumeration, and then enumeration, and the post-enumeration activities. So it covers the three stages.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So soon, Lupai, you will be getting the documents online, and also maybe you will get the hard copy. Your second part of your question is answered already. $3 million US dollars were used for these phases of the process of the PES. You can still call us. Hello, Red Mirror.
Good morning.
Yes, your name and where are you calling from?
My name is James.
James
from Unity State.
Okay, James from Unity State. Go ahead, James, with your question.
So I'm ready for the topic that we are now discussing. Now we have a 12 million, isn't it? We have 12 million too, and then now we have three regions that are now belong to South Sudanese.
Yes.
Which region is mostly very big, 12 million.
Okay.
Then because now we have Upper Nile, and then we have Equatoria, and then the Bagadal. I like the very big region among those regions.
Okay. The most populated region has by this population estimation survey. Yes, they will be explaining to you shortly. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Rede Mira, your name and where are you calling from?
Hassan Isor Minwao.
Okay, Hassan Marhabek Minwao.
Sual with Ayy Banshile, the Taban, Anafi, Aramaji, Fiyimta Fi, Al Barnamij Vita, Tehdad, Sufani, the Gomara, Sinaide. Yan Hassan Munkin, Nukun Gaif, Wao, Ika, Alina Lela, Zemia Nofer. Badi saw the saw nus and no kuna for Arab. We who can't say the Sukanda Mololeni, who gum the machine of Arabas, who mumkin with the Arab Ajane and Mulu the Booker. How Ligani in Hak? Alada the Lilikan has a body case, or Lada the Asabo will attend the Kun case.
Okay. Akalas case, Sukran. Hello? Hello? Yes, your name?
Good morning, Sunday Martin.
Good morning to you.
This is Peter here from Maradi.
Okay, Peter, go ahead from Maradi Njuba.
Well, I want to know to our guest in the studio. Is it these figures that has been released, is it effective and accurate to the citizen or not accurate? If not, why there are released these figures and they will not conduct a census while they will come and release the figures so that people will know that this thing is accurate to them?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Hello, Rede Mira. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Your name?
You are speaking with Justin from Zara County.
Okay, Justin from Zara in Western Equatoria.
Yes.
Okay.
My question is, the data that they have collected, is the Zara County population known by them?
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
that
you so much.
Question.
All right. Hello, Rede Mira.
Hello, Rede Mira.
Yes, your name?
I was Simon Akot in Adawil.
Okay, Simon, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do the states of Equatoria having the lowest number than that of Warab, while Juba is the capital city?
Okay.
So I think that this number is not correct. The second question also, that census can lead the government to do. So whatever he like to do according to the census. But now the census is estimated not correct. How can it aid the government?
Thank you so much, Simon, and the rest of the people. That's why I think this question from Lupai was good. It will be better if you fast track this document and put it online so that people will have access. First of all, let's begin with this question coming in from... you explained earlier that if I spend the night in Juba, and that's why I will be counted the following day. But he was trying to ask if I spend the night here yesterday, and then today I'm counted, and I move immediately to Warab State the following morning, and those guys comes and finds me there. So that is double counting. They mean Hassan from Wow. Effective and accurate, you explained earlier, but you need to explain more. The issue of county, the population of counties, was Nzara County captured in your estimation survey? So,
I think let me say about what Hassan said. Mm. Hassan is really not talking of double counting, but it's like saying...
Yes.
When the satellite imagery was taken, mm-hmm. he was in Wow.
Mm.
Then the following day he went to Wow,
uh-huh.
and then he was counted there.
Yeah.
So
is it possible?
Yeah. These two, they're totally different, but they are enforcing.
So was it not done uniform at the same time?
It took a lot of time. In terms of time, it is a bit distant.
Okay. How long did the process take altogether?
For us to go for the actual counting, they took us almost 1 year.
1 year,
exactly.
So doing daily.
No, it's like making assumption.
Ah.
Suppose that satellite is done here, and then the counting is done, you cross to another state.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are saying...
So do you have the possibility of double counting? Because the moment you do it in Central Equatoria, I can fly the following day to Warap or to Upper Nile, mm-hmm. and you meet me
there. We have the cards. We mm-hmm. give you the card.
Okay.
Yeah, once you are counted, we have the card. But what we are saying, the issue of satellite imagery is not capturing individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It is capturing the structures.
Okay.
So whether it is done while it's in the WOW and even moving to Kwajok, that is something else.
Okay.
Okay. So it does not affect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can come
please
in.
Please go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, this issue of counting here and maybe
in another region.
Some other move to the other region in the following day. Actually, we said that we are just counting people according to where they spend reference night or the survey night.
Mm-hmm.
So that day is the where we can count the people. I mean, when we come to the household, we ask them, where were you
mm-hmm.
in this day? That is the reference night.
Yeah.
So if that person was present in that household in that day, he will be counted. If he was not present there, even if he is a member of the house, but he was not there in that day, he will not be counted there because he will be counted somewhere where he spent the night.
Correct.
There. Yeah. Mm. So whether you spend the night in WOW, you'll be counted in WOW. If you move to Kwajok the next day, you will not be counted there.
Okay.
Even if the enumerator found you in the house.
Okay. And effective and accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue of the effective, I think we have been saying it. We have released them already.
Mm-hmm.
And because we believe that this will help the country move. Because of the data from 2008 is already a bit outdated, so we is like while even waiting for the next census, you can have some figures to begin with in the area of planning and service delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that we at the NBS we believe that it is accurate and effective.
Okay.
Now, otherwise, of course, the citizens have their own opinion. That
okay.
is it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the lowest. Which region is now highly populated? We have three, Equatoria, Baragazal, and Upper Nile. Of course, with the 2 million, we go for Baragazal.
Baragazal,
right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the issue of counties. So he was asking, was his county, that's from Justin from Zara.
Yes, let me just answer this.
Mm-hmm.
According to the population estimation survey,
mm-hmm.
Zara County was around 69,045.
69,045. And 45.
Yes.
So that is the entire population for Zara County.
For Zara County.
Mm. Okay. All right. There is this question of this one here is coming in from
Simon.
Okay. Yes, Simon. No, I think Simon was about the list. Okay, no, let's take this one here before our time is over. There is this one talking about, okay, the IDP. It was also explained that the numbers were not captured because you have the figures already. We can't dwell on that most. Yes, the question now, as we are winding up, let's begin. What next after this released result? What next now for NBS?
Yeah, the next stage is we are preparing to do, as I've explained before, we are preparing to do the analysis of the thematic and then to compile the report. And then secondly, we have to do the disseminate and the publication of this report in all the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And okay. Let's begin now from here, Agustina, as we conclude. If you are to recommend to the NBS for any future planning, like what they are now going to move forward, what would be your recommendation so that they don't come again under heavy criticism, like, for example, MPs walking into their office to raise complaint? What are some of your recommendations?
My top recommendation would be that the NBS needs to use seasoned expertise. They need to use more specialized folks actually to help them. We have demographers in the country. They are hardly invited. Byung is a demographic person. He's actually in his training right now. but the NBS hardly uses the expertise. Imagine I was not invited to the launch.
Mm-hmm.
I am the most vocal. I write on these issues. Nevertheless, the NBS will not consult me on such issues.
Mm-hmm.
So the top priority for the NBS is to do its work as it does, but also make sure that it uses expertise,
mm-hmm.
the relevant expertise.
Okay. And on the basis of this, you realize that even in two places, people are discussing this issue of the figure that maybe labeling some unfounded allegation that maybe these figures were adopted to keep some people in power and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think the NBS should do right now to clear the air?
Well, the NBS has already come out, and I think they have done the best in telling the people that, of course, the statistics might not be sound, as people have already expressed their dissatisfaction, but also that they have worked with a bunch of folks. They have consulted with authorities on the ground. They have recruited folks from the ground. So it's the citizens of those locations that generated the data that they were not politically motivated. Nevertheless, in the future, the NBS needs to use more principles of demography than what it has done right now. They haven't done enough of that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Julius Sebit Daniel, as a chief surveyor, what is your concluding remark as we wind up our discussion?
Yeah, my conclusion remarks is that this survey, population estimation survey, cannot be used for election, and is not a replacement of census. So any this cannot be actually the data obtained from the population estimation survey will not be accurate as the census. So we are saying that there is a need actually to do the census so that we have the accurate the true population of South Sudan by the various administrative areas.
Okay. And Jackson?
Yeah. I think what we need, we, as NBS, we think that we have done our best, regardless of public criticism or whatever an opinion that they may have. But what we ask the citizen is that whatever any other activity, whether it is census, we need their full cooperation. So they have to cooperate because in some areas the interest only may be only money. So they have to avail for us people who we think can do the work.
Okay.
So we need that cooperation at the political and even the technical level, including the rest of the city.
Yes, I would like to read this message for you before. It's very interesting. I can't live without reading. It says, our panelists from the NBS, please, do not behave like other government officials. When we raise our concern, we are not criticizing you, government officials. We are telling you so that you take it and learn, improve from it. We are not criticizing, but we are just telling you, improve more. That's from Deng in Munich here in Juba. We are not criticizing. Okay, finally, from Byung, what's your concluding remark? How positive will you take this complaint that has been raised from the people to work for a better tomorrow? I'm sure this has also, you have learned a lot from these reports coming out from different corners.
Yeah, actually we have learned a lot from the discussion and from more ideas coming from outside. What I wanted to say is that right now in our country we are lacking data. We don't have enough data for any services or to use for any kind of research or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And why we are in this situation, maybe because we as a country, we are not concerned about providing the data. Otherwise, we could not have used the estimate survey in a time that our country need this data at the higher level.
Thank you so much for coming, Julius Sebit Daniel, Chief Survey Manager for the Population Estimate Survey, Jackson Okelo Akur, the National Strategic for Development for Statistics, and also Byung Deng Kwol, Deputy Chief for Demographic Statistics, plus Agustino Ting Mayai from the SUD Institute, who is also a demographic officer. And we thank you for coming, and thank you very much once again for honoring our invitation to come to Radio Mirror.